here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds this Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. It's our Halloween special featuring plenty of spectacular songs. We'll have some new music and Night Sounds dedications with Erica Richards. So don't miss it. It should be a thriller.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, Chicago. All right, the rest of the world. All right, everybody. It's 10 o'clock here in Chicago. Why are you still up? You're up to listen to me, Joe Vecchio, on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I hope you're having a good evening. We're finally starting to get some fall weather here in Chicago. It's nice and brisk out. Brisk. It's so brisk out that I had to bring out this little electric space heater that I have. Naturally, I bring it out, and it blows the power circuit. So I'm in the middle of computer stuff, reading some sites, getting ready for the show, when all of a sudden, poof, everything goes black. And I knew it was the power circuit because all the other lights in the house were out, just this room and this thing. So I went downstairs, and fortunately I know where all that stuff is, so I went downstairs, hit the right button, and voila, we are back. Yesterday, my internet died. It was about half an hour from showtime, I guess, and the little green light started flashing. And that sometimes happens every now and then. The AT&T likes to reset the dial, and this kind of, and usually it only takes a few seconds. We're back up, no problem. Get everything going, and then nothing happened last night. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I go in and watch the ball game, you know. And I come in, and it's still flashing green, and I call up Bob and say, Bob, it ain't going on the air. Now, Bob, professional that he is, asked me if I wanted to do the show from the phone, because the phone was okay. The DSL comes through the phone, but for some reason the phone was working all right. Well, it should. It's different things, right? So Bob said, Joe, do you want to do the show using the phone? I said, nah, I feel like an idiot doing that. And I do. I did it once before, and I really, really don't like it. I really feel stupid putting that phone on and talking into the phone. That's the way I should feel when I'm calling into a show, not when I'm doing a show. When I'm doing a show, I gotta have my microphone here. I'm a frickin' weird person, okay? Frickin' weird. That's just the way I am. I'm gonna be talking about two things tonight in particular. A couple articles that struck me. One I saw from Avedon Carroll's The Side Show, and I'll start talking about that in a minute. And another one was sent to me by Bob Kincaid, my good friend and my boss here at the Head On Radio Network. I did want to talk a little bit about what's been going on with me and my job lately, because when I talk about economic issues, when I talk about issues that affect people, I use my own life as an example, because I represent represent isn't the right word. I am an example of what's going on with a lot of people in this day and age. Maybe I'm less prepared than some people. Maybe I'm just, it would be easy to say, I'm just lazy or stupid or something like that, but that's not the case. Anybody who knows me knows that when I'm dedicated to something, I'm not lazy, and I'm certainly not stupid, at least, even though sometimes I kind of kid myself about some of the things I do, I don't really think I'm stupid. But I do have troubles with work, and one of the problems I have with work in keeping a job is that I tend to... What's the right word? I tend to not put up with the BS very much. And anybody who's worked for a long time knows that putting up with the BS is pretty much part of the job. And in fact, it is really, in some jobs, and there are a lot of worthless jobs out there, just kind of jobs where you're just there to show up for some reason. The BS, putting up with the BS is the main part of it. Sometimes I think there are some places that go into business for no other reason than to see who they can push around. Quite frankly. But for those of you who have been listening to my show regularly, and thank you for all that, for those of you who have been listening regularly, know that I do have a new job. I work at a photo lab inside the Merchandise Mart here in Chicago, a very historic building. I've got an opportunity for a second job. I have to go in for an interview tomorrow. And I actually went to a job fair today, just looking for a part-time job to go along with this first job. And I had to put on a suit and tie. And quite frankly, I like putting on a suit and tie every now and then. But I have another interview tomorrow, so I'm going to be putting the suit and tie on once again for that. At any rate, but I was talking to my boss today, a very nice older gentleman named Zavin, an Armenian gentleman who's been in the photographic business for about 40 years, which is almost as long as I've been on this earth. I'm 45 years old, going on 46. And we were discussing, because business is really, really bad. Quite frankly, I'm surprised they hired me on. But I am the only employee there, and he does need somebody, because otherwise it would be just him. And that would be bad. I think, when you're an older guy and you're ready to retire, as Zavin is. And I really do want, I want to buy this shop out, but I'll talk about that in a minute. But we were talking about business, and he was talking about all of his other friends in the photographic industry, competitors, but not like, cutthroat killer. People he knows that do the same business, and he said, business is bad all over. And a lot of that is just the technology of it. I mean, and I told him, I said, look, there's nothing to have to do with you guys. It's not like you're doing a bad job, but you're using older equipment. And you like doing things the old way, which is all well and good, but the fact of the matter is the new age is all digital. And you have to learn to deal with that, and you have to learn to gear your business. So we're going to, and I've been talking to him because I used to manage a one-hour photo lab, and I saw, this was 10 years ago, and I saw then that it was going to be going away, and digital hasn't even, digital hadn't really even started going in full-fledged in the 1990s. Now it's really kicking in. People, we had a guy come to the shop today trying to unload a video camera. It was a nice camera, Sony Handycam, but and Zavin was considering maybe purchasing it for his grandkids or selling it in the shop or something like that. And I'm just surreptitiously on the side and just kind of shaking my head. Don't get this. First of all, don't buy anything used like that without a warranty. You don't know how good the camera is. And second of all, he doesn't really take videos, so he really wouldn't use it that much. But in this day and age, kids take videos with their cell phones. And the technology is just different. And with the internet, people can send pictures back and forth, but people still want to have hard copies of their prints. I certainly do, and there are a lot of other people who want hard copies of prints to see, because not everybody wants to use a computer to view pictures. Let's face it, it's nice to just hold something in your hand. It's like, you can read so many books on online, you can read websites, you can read newspapers online, but there's still going to be a need for books, and there's going to be a need for people to print older books and write newer books. So, that's not going away. And photography is not going away, but I told Zavin that we have to start specializing and we have to start capitalizing on the things that our customers want. And we have to do things that customers currently can't do for themselves. And some of the people who have, if you're out there and you own one of those printers that prints out a photograph quality picture, you know how expensive that paper is. And if you want to print massive quantities of that, it's very, very expensive, much more than actually going to a store. We can, using the regular standard old film processing, the C41 processing, well, that's the negative, but the silver oxide processing, doing that, we can produce a lot more prints a lot less expensively. And since you can still do it digitally. I mean, that doesn't mean to say you have to go out and use a 35 millimeter camera and make negatives and all that. You don't have to do that. You can take wonderful pictures with a digital camera. In fact, our machine, which is a 20-something-year-old machine, a Noritsu, actually prints much better digital pictures than pictures from a negative. You know, so. But at any rate, the reason I'm bringing this up is because even though this job doesn't really pay a lot, it's only $8 an hour, the truth of the matter is that it's a much steadier job than my former job. Document Technologies was a nice place to work, but quite frankly, it was getting to a point where you had to call in every night to find out if there was any work at all. And there were days when I was working maybe 15, 20 hours a week. That's not going to cut it. So with this job, I'm definitely getting at least 20 to 25 hours a week because I'm the only employee there. Okay? At any rate, the thing about it is Zavin is getting ready to retire. He's in his 70s, after all. And we're looking to do some renovations, and I've been you know, talking to him about stuff, about what needs to be done and what we need to do in order to improve business and you know, to get things on a more profitable level. I'm not sure how profitable the store can be. I was very frank with him about that, but if we modernize, if we get different type of equipment, if we just advertise inside the Merchandise Mart more, because we can gear a lot of our business toward that. For those of you who are not familiar with the Merchandise Mart, let me go over this real quick, because this is important to understand. The Merchandise Mart is the largest commercial building in the world, okay, in a single building. It is something like 23 stories high, and it covers a space something like one city block wide by about four city blocks long. It is a big, big building. When it was built, it had more floor space than any building in the world. It still has about more floor space than I think any building but the Pentagon, and more commercial space than any building in the world. It's a big, big building, and it's mostly filled with showrooms and very expensive items too. So the clientele that go into the Merchandise Mart nowadays they're very rich people, so we have to start to use those customers better. But this is a very historic building. It was built by Marshall Field as a warehouse for his department store empire. At any rate, to get back on what I was talking about, once we make some renovations and hopefully we can start getting some of this business from inside the Merchandise Mart. And I told him, so what we need, one of the things we need to do is deliver inside the Merchandise Mart. We finish the pictures, we send them, we just walk them up to the store, you know, take them up there. People will like that. People will enjoy that, and people will get more business that way. And so at any rate, if things do get going a little bit better, what Zavin plans on doing in 3 or 4 months' time, when the shop is renovated, when he's getting a loan to get more equipment and newer equipment, when that happens, he's basically going to make me the store manager. He's going to put me in charge of the whole thing, and he's just going to basically be a silent partner, an owner, retire, and just relax. And I told him, I said, listen, you've been working so hard all your life. It's time, you know, time for you to, you know, you should spend a few weeks, a few months, a few years, just sitting in front of the TV complaining about what's on, you know, or take your wife on a cruise, you know, do something, enjoy yourself. What are you working for? You know, what's the point of working if you can't enjoy yourself even after you finish all your work, right? So, So at any rate, hopefully that will work out, and I'm going to insist that he pay me a salary, and you know, rather than an hourly wage. My hourly wage is not that great, but like I said, I'm getting actual hours. Plus, I'm interviewing, as I mentioned earlier, I'm interviewing for a second job, for Bose, the speaker people. I'm going to be inside Marshall Field. Well, it's now Macy's, but Marshall Field, for those of you who haven't been to Chicago, Marshall Field was like the Chicago department store, one of the greatest department stores in the country, from what I'm told. And they've since been taken over by Macy's, and there's a big to-do about that because Macy's changed the name of the original Marshall Field store into Macy's, and people really hate that here. So, you know, there's protesters out in front of the street there and all that, and I'm going to be hopefully working there, because that's an $11 hour job, and that's like 20 hours a week. So combining that for the moment, and it's only supposed to last through Christmas holidays. So that'll hopefully get me caught up. You know how bad off I am right now, ladies and gentlemen? How bad off I've been since I lost my last job. It's really, really bad. You know, a lot of hosts wouldn't talk about their finances on the air. I'm going to talk about my finances on the air simply because I want people to understand that when I talk about being the voice of the working man, when I talk about, you know, being one with everybody, I want them to understand that, that it's true. I'm not sitting here making $100,000 a year, $90,000 a year. A scale for a broadcast talk show host is like $90,000 a year. That's your minimum for that. Okay, I don't make that. I've never made $90,000 a year. I think about 23, 24 is as much as I've ever made in a year, right? At any rate, what was I saying? But yeah, I need $15 just to fix something on my internet that I can't fix right now because I don't have $15. Okay, I'm $2,000 in debt to my landlord for back rent. I'm lucky I haven't been evicted. Hell, I'm lucky I haven't been homeless for the last 4 years. Okay? That's how bad things are for me. And I sleep on an air mattress which has developed several leaks somewhere that I can't see. I keep thinking it's the seams. I have no idea. But I fill it up and 2 hours later it's deflated to the point where I have to refill it. And that's the state of living that I'm at right now. If I get these two jobs and this thing with the photo lab works out, hopefully I'll be making enough money I can buy some actual furniture and get caught up on some of these things. But it's little things like that that are very frustrating. And I'm sure a lot of people out there understand this. I was talking to Zavin today, to my boss, and he was just talking about how bad business was. And like I mentioned, part of that is just technology, and there's nothing. That's his fault about it. We have to learn to adapt, all of us. But he also said that the big reason is that people just don't have enough money anymore, and that's a big thing too. And I gave the story of my dad, which I tell all the time. My dad in 1968 was making $6.50 an hour, and on that one salary he could afford to support a family of five. And you know why? A big reason why his rent was a lot less. I believe, and I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty certain we were paying around $80 a month for rent on our tenement apartment. And granted, we weren't living in luxury, but it was an important apartment. Our bills were very low. Food was much less. So what, eggs were like a quarter a dozen, 15 cents a dozen. A gallon of milk was like 69 cents, I think, at that much, if that much. See what I'm saying? And there's a lot of people who are still making $6.50 an hour. Okay, here in Chicago, the minimum wage is $7.50. They have it. It's higher than the minimum wage elsewhere because, the federal will set a minimum, but it doesn't mean the states can't set a higher one. But you can't. Could you imagine trying to support a family of five on $7.50 an hour in this day and age? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm making $8 an hour right now at the photo lab. I was making $9.63 an hour at that DTI, and even if I was working full time, it would have been very difficult for me to make ends meet just by myself. And a big reason for that, probably bigger than anything else, is just rent. The cost of rent has gone sky high. This apartment that I'm living in right now in 1968 probably would have went for maybe $120, $200 a month. The whole apartment in 1968. Now, in 2007, this apartment goes for $1,300 a month. 10 times more. Almost 10 times more. People are paying for rent. This is why when I talk about economists, whenever there's two words that they use that basically get my blood boiling. And the first word is inflation, when they talk about how nasty inflation is. We don't want inflation. And to me, whenever they say inflation, what they really mean is inflation of working people's salaries. That's what they mean. Because inflation is going on all around you. Inflation is going on all around you. All the prices are going up. Is your salary going up to match it or come even close? Nope. So when an economist talks about inflation, that's what he's talking about. The other word they use, and I've mentioned this before on the show, is productivity. I hate that word. I absolutely, positively hate that word. Anytime an economist uses that word, I want to throw something at him or her. Okay? And in fact, and it's not just the cost of housing. It's the cost of everything is up. And my dad had a good union job, and he had excellent insurance benefits. Our whole family was covered for anything. I had three broken arms. No problem. Got taken care of. So many things. So many things. Our good friend Billy Shears, who's got an excellent show on Saturday night here in the Head-On Network, he's saying that he pays $1,300 a month for health care insurance. That's ridiculous. That's outrageous. There's no reason for that. I mean, there is, if you look at it from a mean, nasty point of view, the reason for it is so very few people could make a lot of money. Now, my photo lab job, I enjoy a great deal, and I would be perfectly happy to work there as the store manager, making $30,000, $35,000 a year. I would be perfectly happy to do that, as opposed to making $100,000, $200,000 a year doing something that made me absolutely miserable. The money's not that important to me. The money is important, obviously, because you need to have, you know, you need to buy the necessities and stuff like that. But above and beyond that, I really don't give a damn about money. And it shows. As I joke sometimes, money and I have this agreement. I don't bother it, and it doesn't bother me. Okay? But when you got to the point where you don't have $15 to fix a minor internet problem, that's really, really bad. And that's why sometimes I ask for contributions. No, I don't say donations anymore. Bob Kincaid schooled me on that, and he's absolutely right. If I ask for a donation, the assumption is that I take the money and don't do anything. I'm still doing something. I ask for contributions from time to time. I ask people to buy ads on the Head-On Network on my show so I can earn some revenue during that. It's called earning revenue, okay? But I also know that a lot of you out there are in pretty much the same boat I am. So it's not fair for me to ask. And quite frankly, I'm sick of that. There are people out there with big money who see what we can do. And this is an old complaint, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard me say this before. There are people out there who have the money to make the Head-On Network much better than it is now. And it's great as it is. We've got some of the best hosts. We've got a really solid schedule. About 12 hours of live broadcasting a day. It's a remarkable achievement that we're doing for practically nothing. Very few dollars stream into the Head-On Network. And Bob Kincaid is always talking about how he wishes he had enough money to cut each of us hosts a check. But we don't mind. And we know the deal. We know the score. We know what's happening. But we shouldn't have to be asking for contributions. We shouldn't have to be soliciting ad sales on the air. We shouldn't have to be soliciting ad sales on the site. People should be calling us in like any radio station, or we have a salesman go out and get ads from organizations. That's the way it's supposed to be. But we can't afford to pay a salesman. At any rate, the point is, I'm one of you. Whenever I hear some namby-pamby radio talk show host on the right trying to pretend to be populist, ladies and gentlemen, these people make tons of money. They have absolutely no clue of what's going on. I do have a couple of topics that I want to address tonight, and naturally I rambled on. But if you want to call and talk to me about this or any other issue you want to talk about, I'll get into my other topics coming up after this break here. But feel free to give me a call, 304-658-5453. 304-658-5453. We're halfway through. We got a Beatle break. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head-On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just hop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm not so humble host Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, sticking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker and anti-American policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the numbers to call in if you want to call in, 304-658-5453, 304-658-5453. That's if you have free cell phone minutes or if you have one of those free long-distance plans. I got into one of them there, free long-distance plans. And to be perfectly honest, ladies and gentlemen, anybody who's charging extra for any long distance is ripping you off, because with technology the way it is, all calls are long-distance, really. Because even if you're calling, if my upstairs neighbor is calling me down here, the signal's not going direct from his cell phone to my land phone. It's going up into the atmosphere, into a satellite, and bouncing down here. Okay? And it would be the same if he was talking to somebody in Bangladesh. So apart from all the other things, that's just one more thing they are ripping us off for. Actually, you know, I'm old enough to remember the days that when you called somebody up on the line, you got charged for how long you talked on the phone, regardless of whether it was a long-distance call. And long-distance calls were really expensive, much more expensive. Anyway, it was funny listening to that commercial about Tchaikovsky and Man Ray and Martha Graham. Now, obviously, I know who Tchaikovsky was. Tchaikovsky, you know, one of my favorite pieces of music, the 1812 Overture, and also the Wedding March. That's a Tchaikovsky thing. I like some classical music, It's true. A lot of people out there really don't know. And Jay Leno does that on his show. And I'm not necessarily a big Jay Leno fan, but he goes out in the street and asks people really easy questions like, who's the president of the United States? And people don't know the answer. Now, for those of you who know me and for those of you who've been listening to my show for quite some time, you know that I've discussed one of my favorite movies from time to time, and it's a movie called Idiocracy. It was done by the people who created, was it the Beavis and Butthead people? At any rate, Idiocracy. And for those of you who haven't seen this movie, it is a very funny movie. It's not the funniest movie ever made, but it's really, it's got some really, really funny parts in it. The premise of the movie is that this guy who's in the Army, and he's got this really BS kind of job. He just sits there in the library, the Army's library, and, keeps it, you know, just keeps up. And it's a boring job, but he don't care. He gets to sit and read all day. You know, what a great job for him. He doesn't do anything, really. So he gets picked to be part of this experiment. The Army wants to cryogenically freeze its soldiers, the best soldiers, so that they can thaw them out when they need him for a big war, you know, which is ridiculous. And this guy accidentally gets... He was only supposed to be, like a test subject, be frozen for a couple of days, and they throw him out and see how a reaction is. Well, something happened, and he wound up being frozen for 500 years, and he goes, wakes up 500 years in the future, and everybody is an idiot. Because the smart people were not having kids, and the idiots were having babies like crazy. And everybody in the country is absolutely stupid. And this guy, who is fairly below intelligence anyway, winds up being like the smartest guy on the planet, or the smartest guy in the country at least. And, you know, he gets picked as being the smartest guy, so the president hires him to figure out all the stuff. Yeah, Agnes Kincaid in the head-on chat room saying, yeah, it's Futurama and everybody's Fry, right? But no, you know, Fry is actually very intelligent. I mean, the people, Agnes, you've seen Idiocracy, you know what I'm talking about. It's the one with my favorite line. The guy goes to the hospital to try to find out what's wrong with him, you know, or you know, maybe what side effects there were from this cryogenic freezing. And the doctor's prognosis is, and I can't say the whole thing, but I'll say, he said, your stuff's messed up, you talk like a fag, and you're basically tarted. But that's okay, because, you know, my ex-girlfriend's tarted, and she's a pilot now. And that basically sums it up. That was the doctor's son. And, you know, they had things like they were wondering why the crops were dying, and it's because they were feeding the crops this kind of Gatorade-type substance, which was actually killing the plants. But, you know, say, but you got to give it to the plants. It's got electrolytes, the stuff plants crave. You know, the guy said, don't you use water? You mean like from the toilet? All the drinking fountains have this stuff too, you know. But I bring that up. I bring that up because I saw an article from SFGate, SanFranciscoGate.com. From San Francisco, I assume, from San Francisco. But the title of the column is American Kids Dumber Than Dirt. Warning, the next generation might just be the biggest pile of idiots in U.S. history. Now, I don't necessarily agree with everything this guy has to say, but there are certain things that really, really scare me about people. And it's not so much that people are stupid, but I think a problem is people have rely way too much on authority. They have way too much, you know, they're perfectly willing to exceed. And in fact, I was watching a clip of George Carlin on Keith Olbermann from a couple days ago, I guess, since I don't get cable. Since I don't get cable, I never watch this stuff live. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm like that, ladies and gentlemen. It's 10:34 where I am, and I've been up since 6 this morning, so if that happens, that just happens. At any rate, George Carlin was talking about that, and as always, he was spot on. He was talking about how, you know, kids today don't care. They're not interested in, you know, the Bill of Rights or anything like that. You know, because they got, you know, a cell phone that can make waffles, and that's what's more important to them. You know, a cell phone makes waffles. Uh-huh. And that's what we've come down to, ladies and gentlemen. I've got something I don't necessarily like to admit very much. But I am not a particularly smart person. People say, oh, Joe, you're very smart. No, I'm not that smart, guys. Okay? I'm not that smart. The only reason I seem smart is because in comparison to a lot of other people, that's how it looks. I remember, and I won't say the job because what they did was wrong and they really shouldn't have been doing that. But I got a job at one place, and the guy was showing me some of the other applications that had been rejected. And I could not believe some of the things people were writing. Under a reference, one guy just written Bob and a phone number. It's like, Bob? Are you Bob? Yeah. Is Sammy a good worker? I guess. Okay. But anyway, the article, which was written by Mark Morford of the San Francisco 8, the SFK, let me read the first couple of paragraphs here. He said, I have this ongoing discussion, this is a quote from the column, I have this ongoing discussion with a longtime reader who also just happens to be a longtime Oakland high school teacher, a wonderful guy who's seen generations of teens and come and go, and who has a delightful poetic sensibility and quirky outlook on his life and his family and his beloved teaching career. And he often writes me in response to something I might have written in, about the youth of today, anything where I comment on the various nefarious factors shaping their minds and their perspectives, and whether or not, say, EMFs and junk food and cell phones are melting their brains, and what can be done, and just how bad it might all be. His response, it's not bad at all. It's absolutely horrifying. My friend often summarizes for me what he sees firsthand every day and every month, year in and year out, in his classroom. He speaks not merely of the sad decline in overall intellectual acumen among students over the years, not merely of the astounding spread of lazy slackerhood, or the fact that cell phones and iPods and excess TV exposure are absolutely without reservation short-circuiting the minds of upcoming generations. Of this, he says, there is zero doubt. No, my friend takes it all a full step, rather a leap further. It is not merely a sad slide, it's just not just a general dumbing down, it's far uglier than that. We are, as far as an urban public education is concerned, essentially at rock bottom. We are now at a point where we are essentially churning out ignorant teens who are becoming ignorant adults, and society as a whole will pay dearly very soon. And if you think hordes of easily terrified, mindless, fundamentalist, evangelical Christian lemmings have been bad for the soul of this country, just wait. End quote. There's an old saying that if you think the price of education is high, wait till you see the price of ignorance. I generally fear for this country on several levels. First of all, we have homicidal maniacs in office. We have several presidential candidates, mostly on the Republican side, who will make the most unbelievable proclamations that ought to disqualify them for dog catcher positions in small rural areas. Was it Mitt Romney who said that where science conflicts with God, I'll take God? Are these the type of people we want running the country? And yet these people are considered to be serious contenders. We've got Rudy Giuliani, who has probably got the best chance to be the Republican nominee. This is a man who could be the Republican candidate for president, who basically says he celebrates, that's the word he used, celebrates 9/11 every day. He celebrates it. It's 9/11 day, woohoo! Of course, this whole campaign is based upon, you know, hours later during 9/11. Never mind that the firemen, you know, excuse me, are telling us that a lot of firemen died because he was too cheap to get them decent equipment. But of course, that's just, you know, that's just typical of the Republicans. They talk big, but when it comes to actually doing something, and when they talk about supporting the troops, well, support the troops. Well, how about sending a bomber? Well, I don't know what you mean by that. Was that with that guy's right, Islam or fascism? What you traitor? That? And yet, there's a sizable portion of the population that will vote for these guys. That's what scares me, because you know something, guys like Giuliani, guys like Mitt Romney, guys like, you know, George Bush and Dick Cheney, these guys are dime a dozen. They're all over the place. There's plenty of them out there, and there's always going to be people like that, I assume. What scares me is that these people have lots of money and lots of power and lots of credibility among people who are really and truly ignorant. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea, let me tell you something. I speak badly about my brothers and sisters in the South. I don't mean that to say that everybody who lives in the South is an idiot, because they are certainly not. I have some of the most intelligent people. Hell, some of my favorite politicians are Southerners. Al Gore, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter. These are some of my favorite politicians. They're all Southerners. But the people who run the South, the people who are charged up the local governments, the state governments, they're morons. They're morons, but they're morons who know how to get power. The idiocracy frightens me. I always talk about I haven't talked about it on the radio show much, but I often say that usually when you're making a decision based upon lack of knowledge or lack of understanding, that the decision you're going to make is going to be wrong. That's just because, you know, Murphy's Law, whatever you want to call it. But the truth of the matter is we all need to try to work very hard to learn more so that when it comes time to make an important decision, we have a good foundation of stuff behind it. That's why the news reporting is so bad in this country. That's why it's so bad that all we seem to care about is Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, Britney Spears. Then when we concentrate on gossip like that, and don't really try to learn or understand what's going on, we care more about that than the things like habeas corpus and illegal war and war crimes. That's frightening. And the communications, and communications are a far more powerful weapon than any kind of spying or propaganda that the government can do, because, you know, they're doing the propaganda on their own, and it's corporate propaganda, which means they're selling a product. And they're perfectly happy to keep people at certain poverty levels, but even they don't understand that if nobody can afford to buy their products, there's really not much out there, is there? I mean, there's really not much business that can be done. Because I'll tell you, the rich people aren't trading their money back and forth to each other very much. They don't need to. And it's certainly not trickling down. It's going somewhere. I don't know where. It's not going in my pocket, that's for sure. I need $15 to cover an internet problem. And I'm not going to get it for a while. Because all my paycheck is going to bills and to rent and to food. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm one of the smarter types. And that's the sad thing. And I've come to realize in my working career that bosses like that kind of stupid. They kind of like that ignorance. You know, and I've been to so many places, and I'm sure you guys out there all too, you go to work, and there's still plenty of people out there who are at your job who care more about the job than they do about the work. Do you understand the distinction that I'm making here? People who just care about going to their job and doing, you know, doing whatever and getting a paycheck and not really concerned about the level of quality work. And you know something? A lot of times they don't have any incentive to care about the work, because the bosses don't care about the work. The executives are busy playing their own games. As my good friend Bruce Lewis, a.k.a. Plymouth Belvedere in my comments section, who is a nice enough guy despite being a monarchist and slightly loony when it comes to believing in the Islamo-fascist thing. But he is absolutely right when he talks about how you can replace the average CEO with a jar of mayonnaise, and a lot of people wouldn't really know the difference. It only takes one generation, really, one or two generations, for a civilized country to break down into barbarism. And we are slowly moving towards that. And we've been moving towards it creepingly for the last 25 or 30 years or so. We have been getting dumber and dumber and dumber. And that frightens me more than anything else, because the bad politicians you can give or take, because they're always going to be there. People like that are always going to be there, like I just said. But it takes even dumber people to put them into office in the first place, and that's what's frightening. I'm going to give myself a little break here. I'm going to run to the kitchen and get a bottle of water. While I do that, you can listen to these messages here. That'll just give me a chance to go there and do that. Let's take a little music here, Agnes. Let's get a Puffy Yami-Yumi break if you can do that. Nope, doesn't matter. All right, we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds this Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. It's our Halloween special featuring plenty of spectacular songs. We'll have some new music and Night Sounds dedications with Erica Richards. So don't miss it. It should be a thriller.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
The Head On Radio Network.
Puffy AmiUmi. Fight song from the Teen Titans cartoon. I love that bit. I love good, solid rock and roll. Old time, backbeat, kick-ass rock and roll. I love that kind of music. Don't care much for a lot of the music that I hear nowadays. That's another story for another time. Hey, our music guy is Billy Shears. Billy Shears rocks. Billy Shears' greatest show is on Saturday nights here on the Head On Radio Network, Night Sounds. What a great guy. What a great show. And he's doing Halloween. And I was surprised because he's playing Thriller for his promo. By the way, those are great promos. And that's a really sexy girl on that, on his promos. But I was a little surprised because you know Billy's kind of like in my general age bracket, so, and he likes the type of music that I like, which is 60s, 70s, that sort of thing. But I did love Thriller. Thriller was such a great album. Anyway, I only got about less than 10 minutes here to talk, and I wanted to talk about this because this is kind of a funny. Hang on a second. I had to get a little drink of water there. Bob sent me this. As those of you who listen to me know, sometimes I talk about how generally the least prepared person here on the Head On Network, and that's mainly because I have some, apart from just the general amount of depression that I go through dealing with life in particular, I just have a lot of other things going on, and it's very, very difficult to to put in the type of effort that I would really like to put in on the show. Maybe someday that'll change, maybe it won't. I would really like to see what the show can be when I do have a chance to prep and to put things together and to record some sounds and to do things when I'm focused on this. That may or may not ever happen fully. We'll play it by ear, we'll do it. I keep doing this because, quite frankly, I love doing this. But the thing about it is, there are sometimes I don't feel like even doing the show. And there were when I'm having a really bad show, and sometimes I have a really bad show, you know, Agnes and Bob will tell me otherwise, but they're just being nice, I'm sure. But the times when I have a bad show is generally when I really didn't have a clue of what I really wanted to talk about, and then just didn't really feel like going on the air to begin with. But I felt an obligation to go on anyway. Maybe I'll just, you know, stop doing it. But I've done stuff at regular jobs that actually pay money. And I don't get paid for this, okay? I got a couple of dollars here and there advertising-wise, but I don't get paid for this. But there are jobs that I've, you know, that I get paid for. They just didn't feel like coming in. And you know, I've made up an excuse for not coming in. Oh, I got something going on that day. Oh, you know, the obvious one is that I'm sick. And Bob Kincaid hooked me up with a website, apparently, about a company, man, that charges you $25. Here's from the article. It's from the Comcast.net news, and I'm assuming that's Comcast cable. It says, for about $25, students and employees can buy excuse notes that appear to come from doctors or hospitals. Other options include a fake jury summons or an authentic-looking funeral service program complete with comforting poems and a list of pallbearers. My uncle died. My uncle died. I got to go to the funeral. You don't believe you went to the funeral. And you got to say that because, you know, here's the thing about and I don't mind this deception. It is a deception. You know what? I don't really mind it. Because, quite frankly, I've been under the impression that you know, work is a scam anyway, that you're just being ripped off going to work these days. What was it in the movie Goodfellas? What did Ray Liotta's character talk about at the end? I just, you know, you didn't want to be a sucker. Everybody that worked for a living, put in a 9-to-5 job, they're just suckers. You know, I don't necessarily feel that cynical about it, but you don't have to listen to me. You know, a lot of you are working jobs that are like that. You feel like, what the hell am I doing here half the time? And there are times when you just feel like you just don't feel like going into work. And I've had that before. Just don't feel like it. But they make you feel so guilty about it, because a lot of workplaces nowadays, they're like, if you're not totally dedicated to your job, no, then we don't want to have you, because you must put this above everything else. I was reminded of a story that happened about 3 years ago, and I spoke about it on the show the other day, and I wrote about it on my blog, and it was about a lady named Brathwaite, and she had just started an assistant manager's job at a McDonald's, and she had a couple of kids, a 9-year-old and a 1-year-old, and she had a babysitter for the evening while she was going off to work, and the babysitter called in the last minute and canceled. Now, this is the sort of thing that happens to a lot of people, okay? This young lady, you know, was no exception, okay? It's not, I don't want to say it happens all the time, but it's not unheard of. If you have kids in particular, and it's very difficult to take care of kids, and something happens at the last minute, you can't go to work, okay? Now, she had a choice. She could have chosen to stay home with her kids and risk losing her job, because they don't care, you know, McDonald's, why should they care? You know, maybe the boss, you know, individual bosses might be concerned and might not be concerned, but for the most part, they're big corporations, they don't care, they're always looking at everything in the bottom line. Your family is secondary, right? Well, she could have chosen to leave the kids, the 9-year-old, to take care of the 1-year-old and trust that she knows what she's doing, and I think they were both girls. And go to your job, because, you know, you got to earn money and you got to pay the food and stuff like that, blah, 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 blah. Well, at any rate, so she chooses to go to her job, and the worst possible thing that happened. Somebody, it had nothing to do with her kids, somebody set fire to her apartment building and her kids died. And they would not have died if she hadn't been there. And it's a horrible, tragic story to talk about. And it's really kind of difficult for me to even bring up the subject because it's such a downer. But it just goes to show that the choices that people make. What kind of world do we want to live in? And that's what it really comes down to. Do we want to live in a world where people like Ms. Brathwaite are forced to make these kind of choices? And you can't make a right. There's no right decision in there. That's a lose-lose situation. You lose your job, maybe, and you lose your means of support. And we live in a country that pushes people down if they don't have a job. They don't do, you know, near as much to help them as they can in terms of either finding work or helping them to keep steady while they're looking for work. They'll find any excuse to deny you unemployment benefits or any kind of income, money coming in. It's not even really income, just, you know, welfare, food stamps or whatever. I live in Chicago where they're much better about that than in most other places. But the truth of the matter is they make it very, very difficult if you don't fit in that sense. I don't want to live in a world like that. And that's why I do this radio show. I talk about my photo lab job. You know something, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls in the ships at sea? I love my job now. I love working at the photo lab because it brings out the best of the two things that I do, two aspects of my personality that are very strong. I'm a good organizer and a good production person, but I also have a very creative mentality. And being in the photography business, especially the one-hour photography business, one-hour film development, it gets to really accentuate those two parts of my personality. And I enjoy it to death. It's a great job, and it's a great, for me, it's hopefully will be some sort of career, or at least, you know, pay me enough so that I can pay the rent and pay the bills. And as someone in the chat room the other day said, and it's an old saying, so I don't want to make it seem like that person invented it, but if you do something you love for a living, you never work a day in your life. And I would really, really, I really do want to kind of build a world where that's happening for everybody. And as a liberal, that's the kind of world that I'm looking for. It should be the kind of world that everybody's looking for. But the Republicans in particular, the leadership at any rate, as I say about the Republican Party, there's essentially three types of people who vote Republican. The people who are in on the scam, the people who want to be in on the scam, and the people who aren't aware that they're being scammed. Excuse me a second. Now, for the people who are in a scam, it's obviously very profitable for them, and that's why they keep doing the things that they do. But they want to live in the world where they get all the money and all the power, they get all the freedom to do whatever they want, and we're all screwed. Because they really don't care about us, except for the extent that we help them to make money. And as usual, I get going on a subject, and it's time to go. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. I've got one more show tomorrow, and then we'll have a nice weekend. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network, my good friend, the lovely and wonderful Agnes Kincaid, running the board out there in the studios in West Virginia, giving Bob Kincaid a little time off. Well, Bob is on a live remote, so he isn't in the studio there. So thanks, Agnes, for filling in. Great job, as always. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. If you missed tonight's show, catch him with the White Rose Society, WhiteRoseSociety.org. All right, everybody. This is the last live show for this evening on the Head On Network. Listen to a rerun or get some sleep. But wherever it happens, get some sleep. Wake up tomorrow morning. Come out fighting. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Is he a pot of scotch? Heat up a pan of jam. Throw in a handful of dick. That'll do. Return to the carafe of mash upon a tray of ray. I'll lick a spoon of show. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of joe. Yeah. Da 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 da.
Pull out. I don't think pulling out immediately is the answer because their infrastructure is not stable yet and we need to help them. And if we just leave them the way it is now, there's definitely going to be a civil war, in my opinion. based on my studies. So I think the United States is now liable to help them create a stronger government.
The Iraq study group said that we can't do it, that we should bring in Iran and Syria or some pan-Arab force where there is more cultural affinity. Does that make better sense to you? I mean, you were over there. You must have felt like a target a lot of the time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Iraqis, most of the Iraqis welcomed us. And I think they're used to our presence now. They look to us to defend them. I think they also look to us for guidance. Of course, you have those who aren't really happy about us being there, and that's why we have to wear the bulletproof vest and ride in the armored vehicles. I do think that there has to be an Arab influence. This is their region of the world, and their religion does play a great impact. It's part of their culture. It's part of who they are. And we Americans, our government, can't understand that. We're not a Muslim country. So I do think that an Arab presence needs to be included when fortifying this new institution, this new government, whether it should be Iran or Syria.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the right answer, but...
Are you concerned about what has happened to the military with this invasion of Iraq in terms of drawing down forces, the extending terms to 15 months? There are something like